What is distinctive about the United Reformed Church? I think that's a difficult question to answer, because I'm not sure that there is much which is distinctive about the United Reformed Church in comparison with other churches. But I'm going to suggest one answer, and that is the centrality of the Bible. Most of our churches begin worship by bringing in an open Bible, or alternatively, they place an open Bible on the communion table or on the lectern facing the congregation. And that symbolizes the importance of the Bible to our church and to our faith. In June, I went on a ministerial refresher course, and during that, I asked the Old Testament lecturer, Janet Tollington, which she thought was the best English translation of the Bible. And she replied that the translation which is widely regarded as the best is the New Revised Standard Version, because its editorial board was drawn from all the churches and from a wide theological perspective. She said the New International Version is a good translation, but it has an American evangelical bias. Likewise, the Jerusalem Bible has a Roman Catholic bias. And she said this, and this surprised me a little. She said that the New English Bible and the Revised English Bible have a tendency to put the main text in their footnotes and a secondary text in their main translation. And she went on to say that all the other translations tend to oversimplify the text and may well have a bias. Now, if someone asks me what translation I recommend, I usually say the Good News Bible, and that's because it's a rather simple translation which is easy to read, although I do realise that most experts wouldn't regard it as the best translation. Now, when we're reading the Bible, there are two aids that we might want to go to, and that is Bible paraphrases and daily reading Bible notes. Probably the best known Bible paraphrase is the Message, but we do have to be careful about Bible paraphrases. They're usually easier to read than translations, but they're also likely to reflect the faith, understanding, and the bias of the people who actually write them. Daily Bible reading notes are useful because they select a Bible passage for each day and give a short commentary on that passage. One of the best known is Daily Bread by Scripture Union. The readings that I chose for today are two readings often chosen by preachers when they're going to speak on the subject of the Bible. In our reading from the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy words are a lamp to guide my feet and a light upon my path. Now, when the psalmist was talking about thy words, he was talking about God's law, but preachers today often use it to refer to the whole of the Bible. And in our New Testament reading from Paul's second letter to Timothy, Paul refers to the sacred writings and to the inspired scriptures. Well, Paul, of course, was referring to the Old Testament, because when he wrote, the New Testament hadn't yet been formed. But what Paul says about the Old Testament is even more applicable to the New Testament. And he says that God-inspired scriptures can lead us to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. They teach us truth and refute error, and they teach us right living, which leads to good works. But the crucial thing as we read the Bible is our interpretation and our understanding of the Bible. In the nature, faith, and order of the United Reformed Church, there is this statement: the highest authority for what we believe and do is God's Word in the Bible, alive for His people today through the help of the Spirit. And so we need to read and think about the Bible. And as we do so, we need to be guided by God's Holy Spirit. Now, as we read the Bible, a lot of passages we'll find reasonably straightforward. But there will be those passages that we find difficult because we disagree with them, or because we find them hard to understand, or because we think they refer to a different culture and environment. Let me give you two examples, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. From the Old Testament, when the people of Israel were entering the Promised Land, in doing that, they defeated the city of Jericho and they killed everything, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and asses. In fact, the only people who were spared were Rahab and her family, because they had helped the Israelites. Everything else was killed. And in doing that, the Israelites were obeying God's command. But then we think of the teaching of Jesus, and Jesus says that we should love our enemies. Then we turn to the New Testament and its teaching about women. Paul, writing in his first letter to the church at Corinth, says that a woman shouldn't speak before the congregation. If she wants to know anything, she should ask her husband at home. Paul, writing in his first letter to Timothy, says that women should be learners and they should listen quietly with due submission. Women should not be permitted to be teachers. But Paul writing to the Galatians implies that men and women are equal. And when we read the book of Acts, we are told that Philip the evangelist had four unmarried daughters, and all four of them had the gift of prophecy. In the United Reformed Church, we have both women ministers and lay preachers, and we've had women in the ministry and as lay preachers for many, many years, and I personally have always thought that that is the right policy. I just give those two illustrations to show that when we read the scriptures, we need to do so with the guidance of God's Spirit. And this is where it is important to have the teaching of the church and of trained ministers and lay preachers, and also Bible commentaries and daily Bible reading notes. Now, in our reading from Paul's second letter to Timothy, he outlines three purposes of the scriptures. And the first is to lead us to salvation through our faith in Jesus Christ. Dr. William Barclay tells a story of a woman who was a sister on a children's ward in an English hospital. And she thought that life was futile and meaningless. And she'd waded through book after book, and she'd labored through philosophy after philosophy, but found nothing to help her. She'd never read the Bible because someone had convinced her that it wasn't true. And then someone came into the ward and left some Bibles, and she was persuaded to read John's Gospel. And having read it, she said, "It shone and glowed with the truth, and my whole being responded to it. I listened to Jesus's voice, heard the truth, and found my Saviour." Now, the second purpose is to teach us truth and to refute error. It's a Bible which tells us that God created the world, that God guided the patriarchs and gave us the Ten Commandments. The Bible gives us the Psalms and the prophets. The Bible is our only first-hand account of the ministry and teaching, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It also tells us about the life and the faith of the first century Christian church. It teaches us our basic Christian beliefs, that there is one God, the Almighty Creator and loving Heavenly Father, that God came to us in the flesh through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, and that God is with us through His Spirit to guide, teach, and help us. And the third purpose that Paul gives us for the Bible is to teach us right living leading us to good works. It's the Bible which tells us that God's most important commandments are that we should love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that we should love our neighbour as ourselves. Jesus said, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for your persecutors and those who treat you spitefully. Paul, writing to the Galatians, says that the harvest of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, fidelity, and self-control. The Bible, what is in the Bible, isn't all of equal value and worth. Some will disagree with, some will find hard to understand, and some will think is applicable to a different culture and environment. But it's in the Bible that we find the wisdom that leads us to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. It's in the Bible that we are taught the truth about God, the world, and people. And it's in the Bible that we are taught right living, leading to good works. Broadly, I think we should read the Old Testament in the light of the New Testament, and the whole of the Bible in the light of the ministry and teaching, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, let's read the Bible, think about it, discuss it, pray about it, and be guided in our understanding by God's Spirit. What matters is Scripture inspired by God's Spirit. Amen.